Thank you for joining the Vintage Church NOLA podcast. We are a movement of truth, love, and community. For more information, please visit www.vcnola.com. Here is this week's message.
But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you that while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day and rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all of these things to the leaven and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Happy Easter. He is risen. We have spent the last 6 weeks in our series through Lent looking at the different dimensions of the cross, what the cross has accomplished on our behalf. We talked about things like sacrifice and justification. We talked about things like healing and holiness, reconciliation and adoption, redemption and forgiveness. Last week we talked about apocalypse and revelation. And the cross is absolutely essential to our salvation and what Jesus has done on our behalf. So why celebrate Easter? Why celebrate resurrection? What's the point? Why are these two things together? That's what I want us to think about this morning, how the cross and how the resurrection go together, and how these two things, when we talk about the cross or crucifixion, and we talk about the empty grave or resurrection, what we are talking about is the gospel. A few weeks ago, Gabe and I, my son, we went to the World War II Museum. I don't know if you've ever been there before. I mean, it's like a full day adventure. And there's so many incredible things in it. And after going through it, I was motivated, and I went home, and I'm like, we have to watch Saving Private Ryan, right? Well, then I let Gabe watch the opening scene of Saving Private Ryan. I was like, maybe we shouldn't have watched that, right? But I sat down, and I watched that movie. It had been probably a decade since I've seen that movie. And if you're not familiar with it, you should absolutely watch that movie. It's basically this story about this guy, Private Ryan. He had two or three other brothers, and all of them had died in the war. And so there was this thing in war where if all of the children but one are fighting and they die, then they try to save the last remaining child, the last remaining son or daughter for that family to bring them back home. So all of the children do not die in war. And so the whole movie is about Saving Private Ryan. And you get to the end of the movie, and at the end of the movie, spoiler alert, everyone but one person dies. And the one particular character, Captain Miller, he's played by Tom Hanks, he dies in the very last scene, and Private Ryan is leaning over him, and right before Tom Hanks' character passes, he says this to Private Ryan, "Earn this. Earn it." And there's this reality in those two sentences that what Captain Miller was getting at is, let these deaths matter. Make sure that you live the rest of your life making certain that these men who have died for you, their death was not in vain. And when you get to the end of the gospel accounts, and you recognize that Jesus has died on the cross, and all of the disciples are like, we don't know what's going on. We don't know what to make of this. How are we going to live? We thought Jesus was the Messiah. We thought that he was the one to take over and rule and make all things right. Why did he die? Was his death in vain? And what the gospel tells us, what the resurrection of Jesus tells us, is that Jesus' death was not in vain. It mattered, and it did something. And it not only has changed my life and your life, it has literally changed the trajectory of our world. If you have a Bible, open up to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There in the back part of this letter Paul is writing, he spends an entire chapter talking about the resurrection of Jesus. And I want to bounce around a little bit today, looking at 1 Corinthians 15, thinking about what Paul has to say about the gospel, about the resurrection of Jesus. And the first thing that Paul tells us is this, and this is what we've been talking about for the last 6 weeks. The crucifixion of Jesus defeats sin. Amen? The crucifixion of Jesus defeats sin. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. Paul says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins." Let's say that together. Ready? On three. One, two, three. Christ died for our sins. Paul says that this happened in accordance with the scriptures. This is what we have spent the last 6 weeks looking at. Things like this. Christ died in our place for our sins. Or something like this. Christ absorbed and crucified all of our debt. Jesus' death on the cross brings us back from exile, reconciled to God. Or Jesus brings eternal healing and holiness. This is the reality that Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians 15:3 when he says that Christ died for our sins. And Paul wants to make certain that we understand that this isn't something that he's just made up out of thin air. He tells us, no, this is actually something that I received. It was given to me. The gospel that Jesus died on our behalf was given to me. And Paul himself had experienced the gospel. He had experienced the dead and risen Savior. He had experienced Jesus face to face, and he understood that there was a response to the gospel. If you remember Paul's story, Paul was a murderer of Christians before Jesus came to him on the Damascus Road. And it was in seeing Jesus resurrected, raised to life, knowing that Jesus had died, that Paul responded. In simple terms, he did what every person does with the gospel. He had to repent. He had to recognize, look, I've rejected you, Jesus, killing Christians. And trying to put out the church, that is wrong, that is sinful. I have to turn away from that. And then in faith, I have to look to Jesus, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, to know that Jesus died for me. In the book of Acts, we see Paul responds through baptism, being buried with Jesus, and then raising out of the water, being resurrected with Jesus. That is our response today to the gospel. Without the cross of Christ, there is no defeat of sin. Had Jesus not come, had Jesus not went to the cross, had Jesus not died on that cross, had Jesus not been buried, you and I, we would still be in our sin. And the thing about sin is this, it separates us from God. the very being that we were created to be in relationship with. Without the cross, there's no defeat of sin. But what Paul wants us to understand, if Jesus had only died, we would still be in trouble. Yes, the cross defeats sin, but the resurrection of Jesus does something too. The resurrection of Jesus defeats death. Amen? Look at verses 4 through 8 of 1 Corinthians 15. Paul continues this gospel narrative. He says that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Verses 5 through 8 is all about eyewitness accounts of the resurrection, that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, then to the 12 disciples, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, that's his brother, and who became the pastor at the church in Jerusalem. Then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. What Paul is doing, and this is so important for you and I, Paul is anchoring the gospel in history. What Paul wants us to understand is that if Jesus didn't actually rise from the grave, we're wasting our time. He wants his readers, these Corinthians who were actually rejecting the resurrection, he wants them to understand that it's not just a wishful thought that Jesus rose from the grave. It wasn't just a bunch of people hallucinating, thinking that they saw the risen Jesus. No. In fact, they saw, they touched, they heard the risen Jesus come up out of the grave. They experienced him. And Paul's like, listen, if you don't believe me, there's like 500 of us that are still alive. And I can point you to them and tell you to go talk to them. And I think this is so important for us to just stop and pause and think about this. Because for some of us, we're like, the resurrection sounds like incredibly great news. But I just don't know if I can believe it. I mean, have you ever seen somebody come back from the dead? Few, if any, right? But when we think about the resurrection of Jesus, I just want you, if you're on the fence and you're like, I don't know about all this stuff. I don't know if we can trust this. I don't know. I want you to think about two things this week. I want you to think about the empty tomb, and I want you to think about the eyewitnesses. There's a lot of other things that I could point you to and say, yeah, but consider this or think about this. But I just want you to think about the empty tomb and the eyewitnesses. How do you make sense of those two realities outside of a historical, resurrected Jesus? The tomb that we're almost certain was the tomb that Jesus' body was laid in, there's no body there. And in fact, in the ancient Judaism, one of the things that would happen is they would let your body lie in the grave for 6 months to a year. And then that they would come into that grave after, sorry, I know we're not eating Easter meals yet, after your flesh had decayed off of the bones, and they would take your bones and they would put your bones in what was called an ossuary, a little box. And then they would either keep that ossuary in the grave or they would take it and put it somewhere else. There is no account in all of history of that happening to Jesus' bones. Why not? Probably because there's no bones. So you have to reckon with the fact that we have a pretty good idea of where a grave is that is still empty. There's no visible signs of Jesus' decaying body being anywhere. And then you have to reckon with the fact that there were over 500 witnesses to the resurrected Jesus. Now you're like, well, I get that, but they probably made this stuff up. Well, for one, 1 Corinthians was written around 20 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, which in ancient writing is very close to the actual event. Number two, there are historical events that you and I read about in school and in college that has less eyewitness accounts written down that we believe in more than the resurrection of Jesus. And yet there are countless examples of people, eyewitness accounts of seeing, hearing, touching the resurrected Jesus. I would just make the argument that if you believe certain historical documents about ancient figures and you believe that those were historical events, there's greater evidence for the resurrected Jesus than there are for some of those historical events. The empty tomb and the eyewitnesses. Paul says the resurrection actually happened. And if the resurrection actually happened, then that means that Jesus defeated death. Look at what he says in verses 16 through 19. So he's laid out the facts of the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. And then he goes into his argument. Verses 16 through 19. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. Now, remember, Paul just said what? Christ has been what? Christ has been what? Raised, right? Verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep, those who have died already, they have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. See, the argument that Paul is trying to make is, okay, if there's no resurrection, because that's what the Corinthians are denying. They're denying that there's a resurrection. If there's no resurrection, then Jesus didn't rise from the grave. There was no Jesus resurrection. If there's no Jesus resurrection, then that means that there is no defeat of death. And then if there's no defeat of death, we are the most pitied people of all, because we're the ones promoting that Jesus died and that he defeated sin and that he defeated death and that he defeated evil. So our faith, the word futile, is basically what? It's useless. It means nothing. What Paul's trying to do is he's trying to make this connection between the cross and between the resurrection. Because what he wants us to understand is that the cross defeated sin. But what we know from Genesis to Revelation in the story of Scripture is that sin always leads to what? Death. So if sin is defeated, but death isn't defeated, is sin defeated? No. So Paul says it's important, it is absolutely essential that Jesus die on the cross to defeat sin, but it is also absolutely essential that Jesus rise from the grave, defeating death. Because then what you have is you have a confirmation that the cross of Jesus worked, and at the same time a confirmation that the empty grave of Jesus worked. That both sin and death are defeated. That is what Paul is trying to get at when he gets at the good news of Jesus. Think about it like this. Some things that, you know, they work in combo. They work in coordination together. So when you breathe in, what do you breathe in? Oxygen, right? And do you know what you breathe out when you breathe out? You guys are like scientists. I'm so proud of you, right? You breathe in oxygen and you breathe out carbon dioxide. And both of those are essential to life on our planet. We die without oxygen. But also the plants need carbon dioxide to produce what? Oxygen. These things work together. And Paul says it is both the cross, the crucifixion, the empty grave, and the resurrection that we need for both sin to be dead and for death to be defeated. Jesus' resurrection confirms Jesus' crucifixion. The defeat of sin leads to the defeat of death. Which is why Paul can culminate his argument in verse 20, when he says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. So he says, no. There is a resurrection. Jesus experienced resurrection. And then he goes on to say that Jesus was the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He's using a farming illustration here to say that when you harvest a crop that you are growing, that there is a first fruits. There is a first few plants that are harvested, knowing that there are going to be others to follow. So there's a resurrection because Jesus rose from the grave. And if Jesus rose from the grave in the middle of history, we know that in the end, we too will experience resurrection. It's the crucifixion, the resurrection. They defeat sin. They defeat death. But it's not just that these two things defeat something. The crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus create life. If sin and death are defeated, then there is life. Sin and death are the two things that keep us from life. Both eternal life and abundant life. And what Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 15 is that, yes, the cross of Jesus, the empty grave of Jesus, the crucifixion and the resurrection, they defeat sin and they defeat death, but they also create and provide and give life. Go back to the very beginning of 1 Corinthians 15, and I want to remind you of how Paul summarizes everything that he's about to say. Right there in 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the what? The gospel. And then he spends the next several verses explaining that the gospel is both the cross and the grave. Crucifixion plus resurrection equals the gospel. In his book on Easter, Hope in Times of Fear, Tim Keller writes this about the cross and the grave. He says, the cross and the resurrection together and only together bring the future new creation. The omnipotent power through which God renews and heals the entire world into our present. See, that's the beautiful thing about the gospel, is that yes, there is a reality that without Jesus, without trusting in Jesus, without believing in his death and resurrection, you and I, we are destined for an eternity separated from God. It's called hell. That's what Scripture teaches. It's not fun to talk about. I don't like to think about it, but it's a reality. That outside of Jesus, there is eternal separation from God. And that's a problem because you and I, we were created to be in relationship with God. But the other reality about the death and resurrection of Jesus is that it literally divides time in half. Everything before the death and resurrection of Jesus is before time. Or before that event, before the end, and everything after the death and resurrection of Jesus is the end time. You ever watch like that favorite story or read that favorite book, and the whole time there's this climbing action in the story, and you get to this point in the story where there is a climax, and it's like you're on the edge of your seat. That is the gospel. That is the death and resurrection of Jesus. That weekend, that Friday, that Saturday, that Sunday, that is the climax, not just in the biblical story, but in the story of history. Because there is a problem, and we're not quite sure what's going to happen to Jesus when he dies on that cross, but then everything changes in that climactic moment when Jesus rises from the grave. And everything is different from that moment on in the story. That's what the Easter story does. What Paul wants us to understand is that sin leads to death because sin separates us from the source of life that is God. But Jesus can defeat sin, he can defeat death, and he can create life because he is God. How many of you like fantasy, fairy tales, make-believe kinds of stories? I mean, we can even put Marvel and DC and those. I mean, Batman's kind of a dark fairy tale, right? But, you know, one of my favorite, I don't know if you'd call it a fairy tale, but at least a children's story. One of my favorite children's stories is Peter Pan. Anybody like Peter Pan? You know, when I watch the movies and I read the story about Peter Pan, there's just something within me that says, this is the way life is supposed to be. Does anybody else feel that? Yeah, it's just like you're never supposed to grow up. This is what it's supposed to be like. You're not supposed to age. You're not supposed to grow up. There's a level of innocence that you're always supposed to have. And I think stories like that resonate with us because they get at something deep within our core. All of these stories about fantasy and those sorts of things, what they do is they bear witness to an underlying reality. Tim Keller describes it like this. He says, the tales bring us joy because deep down we sense that they describe the world as it ought to be, and we were made for. That's why stories like Peter Pan resonate with us. But the beautiful thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ is that it's not a fairy tale. It's not make-believe. It's real. It happened. And so everything that those fairy tales and those fantasies and those children's books like Peter Pan, everything that that creates within us, the reason it does that is because there's a real story out there, a true story out there about a man named Jesus who died and rose so that we would never grow old, so that we would never grow up, so that we would experience the kind of innocence and life that we were created for from the very beginning. Listen to how Paul describes this at the end of 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written. Let's say it together. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I can't encourage you enough today to acknowledge your need for a Savior who died for you and rose for you. I don't want you to walk out of this building. I don't care how many church services you've been to, how many Easters you've been to, how many times you have heard or haven't heard the gospel. If this is the moment where you're like, for whatever reason, the reality of Jesus' death and resurrection has become more real to me than it ever has before, please do not leave without doing something with Jesus. It is as simple as right where you're at, saying, Father, forgive me for my sin. I'm trusting Jesus to save me. The Bible says, Scripture says, that when you confess and when you believe, you shall be saved. The death that Jesus died to defeat sin, the resurrection that Jesus accomplished to defeat death, the gospel that Jesus provides to give us life becomes yours. Jesus' resurrection confirms Jesus' crucifixion. The defeat of sin leads to the defeat of death, and the defeat of death leads to life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the victory that we have in the death and resurrection of your Son Jesus. We thank you for this good news that every single one of us has a longing for but would have never found on our own. We thank you for the eternal life that your Son, Jesus' death and resurrection provides, but God, also that the life that he gives now through his death and his resurrection. Father, help us to trust in him.
Thank you for joining the Vintage Church NOLA podcast. If you're enjoying this content, please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. We'll see you next week.